Well, it's a great privilege to stand before you once again and to open up God's Word. Today we're going to be looking at just a few verses from two different passages. The key passage will be Psalm 139, and then we're going to bring some additional material from the prophet Jeremiah, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I wonder if you would just join me in prayer, and we'll ask God's blessing on our message this morning and upon the Word. Father, we thank you for your holy word today, and thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to unpack truth, Lord. We're in a time in which prayer is really being brought forward in terms of its full significance in the Christian life. And here at Oakwood, we are in a little series on prayer called Dangerous Prayers, and we're in your word every day, a number of us. And part of that process is just opening ourselves before you. And I pray, Lord, that that would be the case here this morning, that you would allow your word to get deep into the truth of who we actually are. And there that you would do your great sanctifying work through the power of the Holy Spirit as we yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, yeah, so today we're looking at, and this is going to be, there are three more weeks in this series, and we're in this process. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, I presented you with the opportunity to pick up a book. There's still one out there, and I'm sure that there's one person that the Lord may be saying, you know, I should be in on that. And we're praying these really short, doing kind of a short devotional, and we do it from our own homes and privately. There's a little journaling that's offered on the page, etc., a couple of verses, and then a prayer that we're praying. And we're already on the 12th day of this 21-day program, so but it's not too late. It's not too late for you to get in. And I think on that table, at least there was earlier today, there was one little booklet left. So if it's something that you're kind of interested in and you get out there, and if it's still there, snag it. That one was for you. Okay. So we're basically looking at three prayers, I'll be talking about this idea of search me, O God, from Psalm 139. Next week, Pastor Bill will be sharing a message called Break Me, which is based on that second kind of praying that's involved in this 21 days of prayer. And then when I return, I'm going to be going home this week on Wednesday, and home for me is in Minnesota, in northern Minnesota, so I'm heading that way on Wednesday morning, and I'll be gone for a few days, well, a little more than a week, actually, and I'll be back here in the pulpit, God willing. It is my intention to be here on the 26th. So look forward to that, and then I'll be able to preach that sermon, which I love to preach, which is one called Send Me, and we'll be looking at the call of Isaiah and some other supplemental materials there. So that's where we are right now, so let's just take a moment and read these two verses from Psalm 139 so we can get a notion of what it is, our subject matter, what it is that is being presented to us. And I'll do something with the wider context in a moment, but here are the verses that we'll be mostly looking at and considering and reflecting on today. It's a pretty simple message. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So it's a simple prayer, just asking God to check me out. I need your help. I need your point of view on where I am in my thoughts and in my heart, in my soul, in my spirit, in my deepest interior parts. I need you. I need a checkup. I need you to provide me with a checkup. And now, in the second verse, that is verse 24, see if there be any grievous way in me. I know there's variation in terms of the translations. I looked at something like at least four even in, well, in English translations, you're going to have wicked way in the King James, and even in the New King James. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any hurtful way in me. See if there's any damaging way within me. And there's a couple of other variants that are not popping to mind here, but you may have them in front of you. But then the question is what is a grievous way? What is it that we're talking about here? And so before we get too much into the context, I thought I'd just take a moment and talk about that. That is a really interesting word, that word, grievous way. And it's a way of living or of being that really didn't come with the original design. It's something that has been made by me, by a pattern of thought, a pattern of behavior. Somehow or other, it's something that has affected me and caused me to walk in a way that's not really consistent with the design, God's best for me. And all of those ideas are there. The word is used a great deal, really, in the Old Testament. And it is a word that's sometimes translated idle. And the ancient Hebrew root suggests something that has been made, something that's been fashioned, a kind of artifice, if you will. Something that's been made by a person, a human, okay? So it's an add-on, if you will. It's an add-on that is really outside of the divine plan for what is best in the way of truth, in the way of God, in the way of salvation. It's one of those things that somehow exists very, very deeply within and that causes me to continue to walk in a way that is not helpful. In fact, this is a good translation, a way that will ultimately come to grief. And that's literally what's meant here. A pattern of behavior that left unchecked will do the opposite of giving life, okay? It will come to grief parts of my life, my relationships, my thinking, whatever, are somewhat disordered and need to be addressed, okay? And that's basically what this prayer is. Lord, search me out, you know, for the purposes of correction and cleansing and straightening of any sort of grievous, damaging, hurtful way. Or even idolatry that may reside within my heart, or this tendency that I could have as a person to value something more than God. Anything, whatever that might be, any sort of relationship or anything or any like possession, what have you, all these things, when they're exalted in a way that it's disordered with regard to what is the very best for those of us who are following the Lord, those things must be rooted out, if you will. They got to be found. They got to be dealt with. And we can't just let them sit there. And this kind of passionate heart of the psalmist is something that we want to embrace. Show me what's there, Lord, so that it can be indeed corrected. So that's the deal. Now, just from my own experience, I don't know how it is with you exactly, but I find this is kind of a hard prayer to pray a little bit. Because, you know, I'm not so sure at all times if I really want to open myself entirely, okay, to anyone. and even God. I don't know if I want that light to shine into the depths. I don't know if my heart is unified in that regard so that I'm entirely open before Him. And I just thought about that a little bit. Why is that? I thought this is an onerous, a kind of a difficult, a challenging prayer to pray. And I wondered why. And so I have a few thoughts about that briefly. One is that I'm so comfortable in the realm of denial. I personally, I have degrees. I've got seminary degrees. I've got a degree in, New Testament. I got a degree in divinity, whatever that is. I got a degree in theological reflection. Don't even ask me to try and explain that. I should have had a degree in denial because I'm really good at denial. Even just this morning, I had to push myself. I'm thinking, this is going to be bad news if I get on the scale today. I don't know, I just had that feeling. I didn't move very far yesterday because of all this weather hysteria and whatnot. You know, maybe you somehow were in a similar situation. Well, I guess I did. I came over here, in fact. That's right, I did do some work. I was at work yesterday. I'm sorry, But in the afternoon when I got home, I don't know if I got up out of my recliner. So am I going to, I have to weigh myself every day. I just have to. Because if I don't, I mean, dude, it's just going to happen, It's just going to happen. I've been there. Okay, so it's something I literally have to force my. I'd rather not know. I don't want to see that number, really, so I edge up on it. I have all kinds of games that I play, like I'll put my hand for a minute on the counter when I go to stand on it, and I'll just release it kind of gently and say, what? Okay. You take on that information, but you do it carefully because, I mean, truth be told, I'd rather not know. But I have to know. It's for my health, and so that I may continue to live, and so forth. But we do have those patterns, don't we, in which we cover, even from ourselves, a knowledge of those things that are problematic. Yeah, fear is part of that. I don't want to pray that prayer because I'm scared of what God's going to find down in there, because I know not everything down in there is really cool. It's not all just bright and happy and holy and in every detail. There could be some regions there in the depths of my spirit or in my heart, the motivational field and whatnot. We're talking about this whole inner life that I'm kind of scared. You want to know what that fear in some ways is about? And I just heard a beautiful story this morning about some people who just recently came to Jesus from really a dark and difficult past. And how fresh and how wonderful it is just to hear the hearts and how they just open and people just fall in love with Jesus. And it's so easy then to pray and to talk about the things of God and all of these things and the freshness of that brand new life in Christ. And I think a lot of that is relief. And I've worked with a lot of people in that situation. And people are extremely relieved, and so am I, and I love to talk about it. God knows everything about me. We'll see that in a moment. That's really what Psalm 139 is all about. But the awesome thing about God is that he still loves me. The fear is the fear of rejection, the fear that, okay, if God really gets in there and sees everything that's there, he's not going to love me. And so we hide. We hide. That's absolutely what Adam did, Adam and Eve, right? Immediately filled with guilt and a sense of condemnation and alienation from God, knowing that they had disobeyed him, they just went and hid. And that is a very human thing to do. It's fear. And then there can be this deal, maybe, well, I got this. I'm okay. I can really depend. I can tell what's in here. I know what's in here, and I'm running my life in such a way so as to keep those things fresh in front of me, and I journal, and I whatever, and I've got it all together. I really don't need to bow before Almighty God and get his intervention, and I don't need to get down into his office and listen to what he has to say concerning where I'm at in the depths of my soul. I've really got this together. Well, that's why I thought it would be important for us just to take a moment and look at Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, which gives us guidance about our own competence with this whole area of our ability to assess where we are without any outside input. And what we find here is that our own assessment of ourselves is not reliable because our hearts are deceitful. We can fool ourselves so easily, and we do. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately sick. And who can understand it? We can't understand it. It's a deep mystery. Only God can search and test reliably. And it's really only his assessment in the end that matters. So do not rely upon yourself in terms of this kind of introspection and all these kinds of things and reflection in terms of where you're at. We need an objective standard. That's the beauty of the Word of God. God sends his Word into the world so that we might have an objective standard, okay, and an outside take on where we're at and what our needs actually are. There's this thing called the Johari's window. I thought I'd throw it up here just for a second. You know, in 1955, there were a couple of psychologists. I mean, this kind of, the limit to our own ability to assess our own subjective status and even our own characteristics. We don't know ourselves as well as we think that we do. I know it was the ancient philosophers in Greece, like Socrates and Plato and guys like that, that developed this aphorism. It actually goes even before them. Know yourself. Well, that is a challenge. That is a challenge. So anyway, two psychologists, they're working in organizational psychology, and they're trying to build teams that trust each other and that are effective and that have great chemistry, and they're doing great work together. But people don't know each other that well in the workplace often, and people don't trust each other. And this creates, you know, a kind of environment in the workplace that is not really productive. So one guy's name, seriously, was Joe. The other guy's name was what? Harry. That's how you come to this Joe Harry's window. And it simply, I'm not going to go into the details of this, but you can see, hopefully if you can read that, there are regions within ourselves that are known to others and they're known to ourselves. There are also regions that are not known to others, that are known by ourselves, the hidden area. This is the area that we're talking about here. And then there's a whole unknown area. But that area that is not known to the self, but is known to others, that can be very helpful to expand the open window. And that's the point of this exercise, is to get more and more stuff into the open. So simply people know each other and trust each other more. It's more likely that they're going to have good chemistry. It's more likely that they begin to trust each other. So everyone has known for a very long time that it's very difficult for us to have confidence in our own ability. We need outside input. We need feedback, even in the workplace. So this is the prayer. Search me, O Lord. We pray that prayer because we know that we need help. We know that we need feedback from outside of ourselves. And so we say, Lord, we need help. We need a diagnosis. We need someone that has the capacity to look down deep into our very soul and see what's up. But we don't want to do this exercise just so that we know more and more stuff about ourselves. We need treatment in the depths of our soul. And for that, we come to Almighty God, and we find in him a reliable helper from the outside, someone that we can depend on. And really, Psalm 139 is all about this, building confidence within us as to why it is that we can trust God to be a reliable source, both diagnostically and in the realm of treatment when it comes to the sickness of our own souls. He knows everything. The first six verses, I mean, if you have a Bible, you can just look at those. And often in various translations, these first three paragraphs celebrate and sing the glory of God because he's omniscient. He knows everything that there is to be known. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent in the second paragraph, verses 7 through 12. There isn't anywhere where I can flee from your spirit, says the psalmist. So, and not only that, but I learned a brand new word. He is omnipotent. So he's omnipotent. That is, omniscient. He knows everything. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And he is omnificent. That's my word of the day. That is, he made everything. Everything that is made, he made. Including me. And this is the language of 139. Yeah, this is, I think we're pretty close to the the 40-year anniversary of Roe v. Wade? These are verses that are often cited when we consider the life of the unborn. And it's important for us to think about just for a moment. I know Pastor Bill might be going into it a bit next Sunday. I guess it's that sort of Life Sunday, the Sanctity of Life Sunday. We're certainly in that season when we think about these things. But this psalmist says, I was knit together before I ever really took a breath, before I was born. God was involved in creating every aspect of what it is to be me. Think about that. He made us. So he knows everything. He knows everything about us. He is everywhere. There's nothing that is really hidden from him. This qualifies him as a reliable feedback provider, diagnostic physician, if you will. And he's for us. Now, here the psalmist proclaims, verses 17 through 22, these immediately preceding verses, that I'm for you. I'm on your side, God. And what I'd just like to emphasize is that he's on our side. God is on our side. I could have elicited a number of verses throughout the Bible to point this out, but here it is, Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to those things? If God is for us, and he is, who can be against us? So all of these things just pile up to share with us that we can make this kind of prayer to God and we can have confidence in him and in his love. Though he knows all about us, even in the deepest parts, the areas of our life that need to be corrected because we tend to stumble out of the way that is health-giving, life-giving, salvation, the life of actually following Jesus. And all we have to do is ask. You don't even need to make an appointment. You don't have to sit in the waiting room. You can go to this God who can be utterly and completely relied upon to continue to love us, whatever may be found. Because, you see, we don't want this stuff just to be disclosed as a way of improving our self-knowledge. No, we want it fixed. We want to be more like Jesus. Now, we can be absolutely confident that that's where this whole life of ours is heading, because that is the very purpose of God in sending his Son into this world. Just read about it in Romans chapter 8. I was meditating on those beautiful verses. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. He goes on in Romans 8 to describe what that purpose is. And that is to conform us to the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And God is about that work. He's doing this great work. And it is his intention to bring correction to those areas in the depths of our spirit where we may need it. So we can just pray this prayer. All we have to do is ask. Trust in the Lord. He'll show us what needs to be corrected, and then he will empower us in any corrective action that needs to be taken as we continue to follow him down that path of healing in the depth of our souls. I might get done early today again. Isn't this weird? 2 weeks in a row. Well, I'll probably find a way of stretching things out, so don't get your hopes up. If we pray this prayer, I believe we can have absolute confidence, okay, that if there is any way within us that is inconsistent with the plan of God and the purpose that he has in the power of the Holy Spirit and through the application of the Word of God, all things working together in that way to bring us into conformity with the image of his Son. That is to perfect holiness in our lives, to remove the impurities, and to refine, if you will, the product of our lives. If there's anything there, he'll find it. See if there be any grievous way in me. And finally, he'll fix it. He'll get us back on that path if we let him. If we open truly our hearts before him, and if he shows us those things that need to be corrected, he will also give us grace to walk more consistently along the path that he has intended for us, that gives life and health and blessing forevermore. So, let's ask him. I told you it was a simple message. We can get an outside opinion. We can go in. We can get a full diagnostic range of tests, etc., before God. It's not like he has to do a lot. And when those things that are out of sync with his purpose for us, and by the way, that is a loving purpose, let's keep that in mind, that's all he wants to do, is to give life and hope and blessing in the depths of our spirit. Doesn't want to hurt us, any of those kinds of things. It's the opposite of that. It's grace, and it is here in infinite abundance for every single one of him, of us. So, yeah, this is where I'm going to land. Let's ask him. So join me in prayer. We'll just open our hearts before God. Father, I pray that you would just help us to embrace this very simple direction of living in which we just open ourselves before you. You know everything, you see everything, you've made everything. There is no hidden space that you cannot penetrate the depths of. And for better or for worse, we're just going to step on the scale and see what the reality is with your help. So search me, O God. We pray this together. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Why don't we do that? Can you read that with me? We'll make this a corporate prayer. We'll just read those two verses that are there. Hopefully you can see them. If you can't, Psalm 139, 23 and 24. This is the ESV. Let's stand, shall we? Stand with me. We'll make it a matter of prayer. A congregational prayer. I invite you to join with me here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. God bless you. You guys come and close with song. Appreciate it.